welcome to the podcast on Infinite Earths, an unofficial DC Studios podcast. I'm your host, Tyson.
And I'm your host, Porter.
And we're both writers, editors, and part-time filmmakers who love superheroes. Welcome to our show. Well, welcome back, everybody. Big episode today. We are going to be breaking down the brand new James Gunn Superman movie. We're going to kind of be breaking this episode into two parts, kind of a beginning, no spoilers, just honest reaction to the movie, and then we'll kind of break down the movie, first impressions, just things that we loved and hated, and we'll get kind of into it. But yeah, before we get into that, there's some exciting news about the Batman movie coming up.
Yeah, it was announced, and we know we are like super late on this. We've just been doing a bunch of other stuff with the podcast, and we were finally like, yeah, let's just throw it in here. The first draft of the Batman 2 has been turned in, so that's good. Even though it's supposed to happen like Memorial Day, I believe, something like that, it came out about a month later than expected, but that's fine, right? I mean, I think it's a good thing. What are your thoughts?
I think it's awesome. It's exciting that they're moving on it, and we both agreed that, you know, we'd rather them write it, you know, how they like it, rather than just kind of rush it out. I liked what James Gunn said about it. He said, listen, we're supposed to get a script in June. I hope that happens. We feel really good about it. But people should get off Matt's nuts, because it's like, let the guy write the screenplay in the amount of time he needs to write it. That's just the way it is. He doesn't owe you something because you like his movie. I mean, you like his movie because of Matt. So let Matt do things the way he does.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, he's right. Who knows how long it took for the first Batman movie to come to be behind the scenes, right? And I think just let it cook, right?
Totally. No, that's a great way to put it. And once again, I love that he says, you guys aren't really owed anything. And it's like, we aren't. I'm here just to enjoy the work that you put out.
Totally. Speaking of work that has been put out that we enjoyed. So, yeah. Last night we went and saw an early access of Superman. And okay, we're going to start with the spoiler-free impressions, kind of just anything good to know before going in, and then we'll have a very obvious spoiler warning, and then we'll get into it. So I don't know, to start us off, like, I overall really, really liked it. There might have been a thing here or there that didn't quite work for me, but overall, it was probably the best Superman movie I've seen.
Yeah, I want to get more into this versus our top movie Man of Steel previous to this, but that'll probably be for our spoiler section.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm with you there. This was genuinely so enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean, funny story about our screening was, it was supposed to start like at 7 on the dot, and about 7:15 a manager comes out and he's like, hey guys, we're trying to fix it, be patient. And then like 10 minutes later he comes out again and says, okay, we have to like retransfer the movie to the projector, which could take 30 to 45 minutes. And so we didn't get to start our movie until 8:20. It's like we were an hour and 20 minutes behind what we were supposed to be.
Yeah, but I'll say, man, worth the wait.
Yeah, I'm with you, right? It's like we're already there, right? There's no chance we were going to leave, but...
No, but oh my gosh, the early access was extra fun too. You got all the people dressing up, everybody's like cheering and hooting and hollering when the title comes up. And
totally. Yeah, it was good. And yeah, this movie is a lot, but I will say, don't feel like you have to go in with a strong knowledge of DC or just the universe itself, because my wife went and she doesn't really know much about DC as far as like besides like Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. Like, she knows who they are, but she's not like the same way that she's like an MCU fan and she knows like all the ins and outs. But she was not confused by the amount of characters and information that is thrown at you in this first act. It's a lot, but it does give it to you the right way. So don't, you know, don't be scared of overwhelm, you know?
No, and we were speculating a lot about how they were going to break down all these storylines, because from the trailers alone, it seems like there's a lot going on, and there is. And this isn't a crazy spoiler just because it's how the movie starts, but there just isn't a whole lot of backstory. They really just throw you right into it.
Yeah, they do. Like, the very beginning of the movie is just text on a screen basically being like, yeah, Superman came to Earth. deal with it, right? Like we don't see like any origin story. They totally went the Tom Holland Spider-Man route with this one.
Yep, which I honestly love. It's, in my opinion, about time. I feel like fans are well aware.
Yeah, and despite them not giving you an origin, if you don't know Superman's origin, you still get it through like certain pieces of dialogue and through who he is as a character. But that's kind of more for the spoiler section. But it gives you everything you need.
Totally. I think one of the most exciting things about this movie is that it was James Gunn creating it. So there was a lot of hype around, you know, him and his style. And I feel like it totally delivered. This felt like a James Gunn film.
Yeah, it's funny. It's got some really weird stuff.
The fight sequences have some fantastic visuals. Like it is. Yeah,
he does a great job. The dialogue is witty. The characters are relatable and fun to be around. And even like super, you know, one-off side characters, they still have like a lot of personality, which is great.
Totally. No, nobody felt like unnecessary to the plot.
And even if they were, they were still fun to have around, right? Which is okay.
Totally. You were mentioning that the Superman theme that they played was just a little bit different.
Yeah, it was like they had the main theme, but they took away a note or changed the timing between notes just enough so that it was different, but it was still obviously Superman. Kind of reminded me of the new Jurassic World Rebirth, where they only play the John Williams score like twice throughout the whole movie, and the rest, it's an original score, but you can tell that it like they take the theme and kind of make it their own, so like it still feels like it's in that world, but it is unique and it is its own thing. That's kind of how I felt with this one.
Totally, like it's enough to be reminiscent of its roots.
Roots is a great way to put it. But yeah, I mean, from the music to the style to the dialogue, like I said before, it is a great movie. I had a great time. It was such a good time at the theater. We were all smiling and just having a fun time talking about it on the way home. It's a great one to see with friends or by yourself. It is a solid movie. Probably going to be one of the biggest movies of the year.
Easily, yeah. Worth a watch by any metric, really. You know, superhero fan or not, I feel like it is so easy to get into. They did a great job with it, and I'm excited to watch it again, to be honest.
I know, I'm so mad I couldn't go see it again today. But yeah, so this is where we'll kind of have... This is our spoiler warning. You have been warned. Okay. It literally starts us off with... We thought we would get more of a fight with the hammer of Bavaria. And it's literally like text on a screen that's like, they fought, he lost. And the movie starts with the full version of that extended trailer we'd gotten where we see his crash.
Which I thought was so cool because we know the whole sequence, we've seen it now, but that's like how they start. You're like, I totally assumed that would have to be well into the movie.
Totally. That's why I was so surprised that they would show it in that trailer, but now it makes total sense. I was like, oh yeah, if it's the very beginning of the movie, like sure, cool.
It was fantastic. And yeah, that line hit hard, right? Like, you know, they were just kind of breaking down. Metahumans were discovered, Superman came to Earth, he's been well established, people love him, he like stopped a war that's controversial, he just got his ass handed to him.
Yeah, seriously, I feel like that the text works because most people have an idea of kind of the superhero genre, and it was kind of refreshing but also a little jarring to just hit the ground running like this, especially when it's supposed to be like the first film in the DCU. It's like, holy crap, like there's so much in that text, but I feel like it keeps it simple enough that it's not gonna like throw anyone off.
Oh, totally.
It's just a lot.
It's a lot. And I think that has been like the biggest strength of the most recent and popular DCU projects is, you know, we got the Suicide Squad, we got Peacemaker and things like that. They just have established characters. They don't worry too much about like the roots and the backstory. They'll give hints to it. They work it in through dialogue, but these people are just who they are. So I thought it was perfect for them to have Superman as that.
That's a good point. I mean, and I have to remember that like James Gunn kicked off his superhero like awesomeness with Guardians of the Galaxy, where he had to introduce five main characters that nobody knew about.
Nope.
You know, it's not like Superman where most people know who he is already. It is five unknowns and all of the previous like Marvel movies have taken place on Earth, and this was the first one to take place like in space. It was a lot.
He had a monumental challenge to introduce five main characters and then build like a universe.
Basically, yeah, like the whole other half of the Marvel world, which is a point I want to get to later, but there's so much, right? But I guess what I'm saying is that he's proven himself, and you're right, with the Suicide Squad as well, to just handle a lot of characters and a lot of information at once, even if we don't come in with some backstory like we do with the character of Superman.
Totally. And I think that was the weakness of the original Suicide Squad and the Justice League, is they leaned too much into it. They tried to give everybody a little mini backstory, and it kind of dragged because of that.
Right. Like, nobody's sitting here going, oh my gosh, we should have had the Hawk Girl movie before this. Like, no, I mean, they were introduced very naturally. And that line at the beginning where it said, like, metahumans were discovered. So it's, they're a thing in this world. It's not like Superman is the very first one to be discovered. So it's not like out of the blue to have other superheroes around.
Not at all. And what I love, you so precisely put it, is like these relationships that have already been established. We have, right, Superman is already a superhero. He's already been dating Lois for a little bit. The Justice Gang is already a thing. They're friends with Superman.
Yeah.
We got Lex, who has a history with Superman, who like hates Superman. He wants to take him down. Superman, you know, isn't on the greatest terms with Lex. Like, they're both aware of each other, and like there's already so much going on there. He has his Fortress of Solitude. He's like got his great dog Crypto. We see at almost the end of the movie, he's like tight with Supergirl, right? Like, all these things are just in the world, and we get to experience them.
Yeah, and it makes it really exciting for the DCU as a whole, because we kind of do get to hit the ground running. We don't. And okay, I need your opinion. I need your help figuring this out. So a huge criticism of the Snyderverse was that they try to do things too quickly. Now, this movie, one could argue, is doing a lot too quickly. Here's my counter argument, and I want to know your thoughts. I think because we went from Man of Steel, which was, you know, typical fair Superman movie, Batman v Superman, where, as we discussed in our watch through episode of that movie, Batman's a lot different than what the general populace knows him as.
Mm-hmm.
I think that because they didn't spend the time properly introducing Batman, it felt rushed in that way. Whereas in this movie, Superman's not like a far cry from what people already know him as. And also, the other characters that are introduced are not Batman and Wonder Woman. They are still like powerful superheroes that they work with, but they're kind of that B tier almost, especially like, yeah, Guy Gardner's Green Lantern, but he's like,
he's not the Hal Jordan.
He's not Hal Jordan or John Stewart, right? So like, they're kind of allowed to be side characters, and it's cool, right, to be introduced in this movie.
No, you make a great point about it, right? This like pre-Justice League Justice Gang is truly B tier characters. Mr. Terrific, nobody really knows. Hot Girl is like, has zero backstory essentially in this, right? No, and she just exists, and it's awesome. They are people that are almost inconsequential in like the Justice League itself, right? But they are characters that they can kind of build on, which I love. You're so right. It's that Guardians of the Galaxy, Suicide Squad energy.
For sure. I think, I also have to say, I did not expect Mr. Terrific to be as vital in the story. And I was very pleasantly surprised by his character.
Big fan.
Really like him. He literally went from, yeah, I mean, I've heard of him in like Justice League Unlimited, right? Where there's right. like 100 characters
in like Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Exactly. It's like there's like a million people around though, so I didn't really care. But now I'm like, he's cool. Like, I want to see him again.
I'm
right?
invested.
He better be in the future movies.
He is a crazy cool character.
Yeah.
Skipping ahead a little bit here. I mean, obviously he's got the tech. He's very like smart, which is awesome. Those are great powers. I was blown away by that fight scene in Lex's camp.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And it helps that like the camera movement just kind of staying inside that force field.
All on Lois's like reactions. That was masterful. Once again, leaning into that James Gunn style where it's just super cinematic and like flowing and immersive, and all these like wide panning shots. Like it really pulls you into the action. And that's one thing I love about his style, and that stayed true in this movie.
Yeah, the only thing I felt was strange, not strange, it was kind of more of a hindsight thing, was that James Gunn is really known for kind of having a jukebox in his movies, right? All these different songs, and they're usually really fun. However, this movie didn't have really any songs that I could think of besides like the end credits, as far as like what I would think of as James Gunn's style of throwing a song in.
Except for that Mr. Terrific
fight. Yeah.
And that, you're right, like that was kind of a stark moment. And as soon as the force field came down and you like heard like the change in music, it was cool.
Yeah. No, great scene. I have to say, so that, okay, we're going to jump all over the place. That's just how it's going to be, right? So at that scene, they're going to the pocket dimension, right? What I thought was very bold about this movie was that they, like, first movie in the DCU, they are embracing the weirdness of the DC universe with characters like Metamorpho. You have the pocket universe, right? I think that it's a stark contrast to Marvel, where, like I said, they did not really leave kind of that more grounded Earth approach until 2014 with Guardians of the Galaxy, whereas this one is like right off the bat, we're just doing the weird DC universe stuff, right? We got giant monsters in our middle act, right? We got, you know, weird alien babies. It's weird, and they got cloning, right? Like,
it's almost like Ant-Man Quantumania, like for the first movie they put out.
Totally. Yeah, it's just like, holy moly, like they really dove in head first. And I think it works because DC does have a lot of weirder characters, and I think just kind of getting that out of the way, it's a smart move.
Yeah, I think it worked well because everybody was in on it.
Yeah, I mean, oh, and I take that back, I guess technically like Marvel had the Thor movie.
It's not quite as interplanetary, right? There's Asgard and Earth, and they're pretty,
yeah, and they go to like the other realms, but it's kind of rooted in a mythology, right? As opposed to
just that Star Wars world hopping.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
One thing I loved about this, I remember looking over at you in the theater because we were like, oh my gosh, confirmed, was this relationship between Lois and Superman.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fact that she knows he's Superman. They've been dating for 3 months, and we kind of get, you know, a playful back and forth when he's at the Daily Planet. Then we get quite possibly one of my favorite conversations in this movie, where they essentially establish the main conflict and then really dive into a conflict that's developing between Lois and Clark in this interview that she gives him.
Yeah, it was kind of fun because, yeah, we had no idea if she knew who he was, Superman or not. Also, another nice thing to just get out of the way.
Oh, totally.
But yeah, that's what I was going to talk about with, like, if you don't know Superman's origin, it's okay. This interview has got to be the most clever way to deliver expository dialogue I have seen in a long time, because this conversation, like you said, it establishes the, you know, physical conflict of the world, it establishes the inner conflict of Superman, and it also gives you like the backstory on who Superman is, what he stands for, why he does what he does, and it feels natural. You know, you don't have to be like monologuing. I don't know. I'm with you. It's probably one of the best scenes in the movie.
Totally. Strange enough, I have goosebumps right now, like reliving this this conversation. It perfectly encapsulates how David Cornsweet and Rachel Brosnahan play these characters, and I am a big fan of both. Okay, I think she is by far the best Lois Lane, hands down.
That's for sure.
And I really love David Cornsweet's Superman. I'm going to have to sit on this for a little bit. I, like, you know, I'm a lover of Henry Cavill at heart. But holy cow, they knocked it out of the park, and their characters and their, like, their conflict during this, like, it pulled me in. I was sold.
Yeah, I think the casting all around on this movie was so good. I mean, Nicholas Holt as Lex was quite good. I like how they played him, right?
You can't even tell he's British.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, overall, I mean, and all the Justice Gang was cast brilliantly.
Nathan Fillion, yeah, oh, no, they geez. They just had fun with it, and it shows.
Yeah.
You make a good point about Nicholas Holt being a great pick for Lex. I love how he played this character and how he already has like this well-established kind of like maniacal energy, right? This opening fight where we get like Lex introduced and him like kind of pulling the strings around Superman, I think is a brilliant way to start off his character.
Right. And having it be like him giving commands via a letter and a number, it exudes this idea that it's like a chess match for him.
Totally.
And he has to win.
Totally. That is a great way to put it.
And also, like, his plan was a good plan. Like, he was able to get to the Fortress of Solitude. He was able to get what he wants, which, okay, sidetrack. Superman's Kryptonian parents' message that they play at the beginning, and it's a great planting for the robot to be like, oh, it soothes him to, you know, watch footage of his parents.
Mm-hmm.
And later in the movie, right, or at the end of the movie, we get to see, like, footage of his Kansas parents raising, which is just,
I got goosebumps again. It was so wholesome.
So good.
But, a perfect way to wrap that up.
Yeah. And it was fun. You know, Bradley Cooper as Jor-El, right? It's a clever idea to have them be like, oh yeah, like the footage was destroyed. And so it's really hard. You know, they don't know what it means. But then Lex Luthor is able to get it. Engineer is able to figure out what the rest of it means. And they just release it. Like, they don't blackmail him at all. They're just like,
no, they just want to take him down in the public eye.
Yeah.
And
which, yeah,
I love the heart of this conflict because it feels so natural. Maybe it's because we were introduced to this kind of plot in Invincible, where, you know, there's kind of this alien race that comes to Earth and is all powerful and kind of sees themselves as like a god-like race, right? And that they should rule, that their blood is pure and all those types of things. I love that, you know, Superman was raised with all these good intentions, all these like great values with his Kansas parents, and he like took what he wanted from this video. He got the meaning that he wanted. But in reality, they had kind of this Viltrumite energy around it where he is all powerful, right? He's there to like conquer and to like lead these people because he is their god, essentially. And kind of this conversation around like what your parents intend for you and what you end up being is powerful. I loved this main plot point they had.
Yeah, and I don't know. There's like a back and forth. I've read a bunch of stuff that, like, who did it first, Invincible or Superman? Because there's some older Superman stuff that could allude to this.
Right.
But I think it works great, right? Especially in the context of here where it's not, like, the plot of the movie. It's essentially just kind of the, what is it called when it's the end of the first act? Would it be the inciting incident? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that feels right. That's kind of the thing that, like, drags him into, like, the real scrutiny of the public eye, right?
Yeah.
He's forced into it.
It's such a devastating moment for him, and he shows it so well. And
oh my gosh. That scene right after this victory.
Yeah. Which, that monster fight is so fun.
Oh my gosh. And as much as it's been shown in trailers and ads for, like, random things and whatnot, that is a gorgeous scene where he's saving that girl, like, that slow-mo feel with all the canisters and rubble coming around him.
Yeah, it's so good. That's a great shot, and it's just as awesome in the movie as it is in the trailers.
Totally.
So.
And I think one of the coolest things about Lex in this that we don't see as often in other portrayals of him is he is truly using all of his assets that he can just to keep Superman busy, because he knows that as long as he can remain free to like make his other moves, he starts off with the Hammer of Bavaria, right? Which keeps Superman until Lex can find the location of his Fortress of Solitude.
Right.
He then wants to get in the fortress, so he keeps him busy with this monster, which we were speculating whether it was Parasite or not. It wasn't really sapping Superman's powers, so I wouldn't say canonically
yeah.
It is. It's a cool monster, though, and
it
such a cute little introduction to him.
Oh, totally.
And even, like, the main conflict at the end with the Rift is all a distraction for Superman.
Yeah, it's so much. And he's smart, right? I mean, he kind of gloats about it, but he's like, yeah, brains will beat brawn every time. But that can come back to bite him. Right? I mean, literally in this case, but yeah, I think all of his machinations work. And even having, like, when he takes him into the pocket dimension and Metamorpho's there to, you know, produce kryptonite, that's smart. I mean, and then he blackmails Metamorpho, right? By the way, I did not think Metamorpho was going to be as big in this movie, because he was, like, barely in the trailers, but he's a big character.
No, like, he is, like, the main reason Superman gets out and, like, plays a very supporting role later. I liked how much they included him. He's a neat character.
Yeah, I hope he comes back.
And the design on him, they killed it. Holy cow.
He's cool, yeah.
So yeah, when it comes to like villains, Lex is pretty top tier. I love the way they designed him, and his layer, his pocket dimension is nefarious.
Yeah, and like that weird demon thing guiding the
skinwalker
ship.
Kind of terrifying.
It's so creepy.
Totally. And I think it was cool and interesting how they introduced these other villains, the Engineer and the Hammer and Ultraman specifically, because they're kind of Lex's creations.
That's a good point, right? I mean, you have his crew is, yeah, people that can fight Superman, right? Which is a cool thing. And I guess technically Eve is around, which... We'll get into her. She's so fun. But yeah, you're right. Like, these guys are so powerful. And then they have the Raptors, which are just basically an army of dudes in suits that could fight Superman.
Fly and punch him. Yep.
Yeah. And it's a fun change, right? To have a lot of things. And okay, I felt like Superman's power was kind of taken down a couple notches in this movie so that he wasn't like all powerful. And I'm cool with it. Like, I liked it.
I think it worked really well, especially when they had him started off like broken, right? Like all beat up and everything. And then especially when like he went back to the Hammer of Bavaria and kind of just got whooped again, right? And is like hurting, right? He's like struggling to get out of the rubble and get back enough the time that like, you know, the hammer gets out of there. I feel like they kind of just made it clear that, you know, there are forces that can like hurt him, right?
Yeah, which is a great idea, because then later in the movie, you feel like he could get hurt, which is not always the case when you're watching a Superman thing.
No, there are human elements to him, which, yeah, leads to that sense of fear because you're not sure everything is going to turn out all right.
Yeah, like, speaking, so Ultraman, I think, is a cool idea. It's very bold for a first movie to just have, like, a clone of him. I honestly thought, so Ultraman is typically from a different dimension, and he's basically just like evil Superman. I thought that's what they were going to do, and I was like, oh man, they're already doing like multiverse
starting off with the
but then they did not do that, and they just had him be a clone, and I was like, that's probably a smart idea.
Well, right, and it's a plot that Lex has tried before in some of these past iterations, and being as brilliant and scientific as Lex is, it feels like a very like natural addition to his army that he's building, right? Is just a genetic copy of Superman that can fight back.
Yeah, and it makes for very fun fight scenes.
And a great reveal.
Yeah.
Because I had no idea. You know, you see part of the mask crushed, and I'm like, well, who's it gonna be? It is David Cornsweet with long hair. And yeah, that fight is like so much more epic after the reveal.
Yeah, it's such a good third act. Oh my gosh. And that part when you kind of get he's beaten down right at the end. It's like, oh, what's he going to do? And then he outsmarts Lex and is able to just kind of go crazy on all of his goons. Like, that part is so good.
Oh my gosh. No, when, yeah, he finally just is able to get the upper hand. He's able to use his strength, right? Lex doesn't have all of his intellect to save him when he doesn't have eyes on the situation. Speaking of which, Krypto, what a fun addition to a Superman movie. We have yet to have this so far, and they killed it. I heard some people that were kind of weirded out by it because Krypto is like a strange and very 60s addition to any comic book. Is like, it's a dog with the same powers.
Right. It feels strange, but I thought it works. Yeah.
It totally works, and we were talking about this on the way back. It's because he's not a good dog. Like, he's just kind of a rambunctious and, like, kind of dumb animal at times. Like, a lot of people can relate to just, like, this thing that jumps around and jumps on people, doesn't really listen to you very much.
Right, bites at the ankles.
Right, yeah. Right. But you love him, and Superman loves him, to the extent that Krypto is kind of the reason Superman turns himself in.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because he's looking for the dog, and he's just like, yeah, I have to go, otherwise, how else am I going to find him?
Totally. And what an intense, but almost relatable scene, where, like, the moment Superman loses his cool isn't the fact that Lex, like, wrecked his lair, the fact that people are turning against him because Lex got into his lair, Superman is freaking out on Lex because his dog is gone. Right. That is so John Wick.
Totally.
And I think, you know, me being a dog lover and many people like that, you can understand.
Totally.
Yeah, very, very almost human and endearing that Superman would kind of literally risk his life for this rambunctious little mutt.
Yeah, very fun source of conflict, right? Because he technically doesn't have to turn himself in.
No. And speaking of like Superman's love for all life, I mean, that's kind of a theme throughout this about, you know, he stops the war because people are going to die, all the way down to like fighting the monster. He saves the woman he was about to stomp on. He saves a squirrel it's about to stomp on.
Yeah.
Like, he has such a respect and appreciation for life and kind of sees the good in them. It was such a quintessential Superman trait that I love that they chose to really highlight.
Yeah, I feel like the main internal struggle of Superman, this movie, is what are my values? And because at the beginning, he's like, like you highlighted, respects all life. He wants to do good. But then he finds out that his parents sent him there to conquer. And he's like, okay, who am I as a person? What does that mean? And then you have this great bit where he's back in Kansas, kind of healing. And his dad's like, hey, you are a good person. And all parents can do is give you tools. Like, your parents don't define who you are. And I love that the answer to his internal conflict is, yes, be a good person. It's okay if, like, everyone else thinks that you're lame for being so, like, wholehearted. Just stay that way. And that's what Lex hates about him.
Totally. Totally. I am curious about this because you feel pretty strongly about the original chat they had. But I honestly think that this Jonathan Kent conversation rivals that of Man of Steel.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
I wouldn't say one or the other is necessarily better. They are both fantastic portrayals, but I was blown away by how well this was played.
Yeah, it was really good. And for Jonathan and Martha not to get much screen time, I felt like they really rocked their roles.
Amen.
And they didn't get a lot of screen time, but I felt like the Daily Planet crew was so fun.
Totally.
And yeah, they hit
all of the notes. They had the quintessential gang, and having them all together in the T-Sphere later on was super fun. Oh my gosh, Jimmy Olsen.
Oh, he's the highlight. Him and Eve's like relationship was so funny.
So funny. That's that classic like James Gunn, just almost absurdist Guardians of the Galaxy humor.
Oh, totally.
That I loved that whole bit about how all the women just find Jimmy like unattainably attractive.
Right. And it's just like, how does that happen? But it's such a great bit. Yeah. And you're right. Them all being in like the sphere together it's a fun time. And Lombard not having a seat, just like every little thing is just so funny.
Totally. And I loved that Jimmy was able to play kind of an integral role to the plot.
Yeah, totally. So just because I just thought of it, I think it's not a hiccup, it's more of like I wish that was better. I wish that the like title card intro was better. I don't know what it was, but you have him flying, and then his suit kind of turns into the symbol, and then you get a Superman text, and it's serviceable, but like, let's be real, like even compared to the Superman movies I don't like a lot of the Christopher Reeve ones,
they did go a lot more grand with it.
Yeah.
So do you wish it had been more? Do you feel like the moment that they introduced it was unnatural?
No, I thought it was good. I just kind of wish, like, maybe it was our theater. I don't know. I wish that, like, the music had swelled more, and then it was kind of like an explosion of sound as, like, the logo turns into Superman. And I don't know.
It didn't hit quite as hard as you'd hoped.
Yeah.
That's fair. I kind of agree with that.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, it's not bad. It totally works. I just, compared to the last Superman, you know, we've watched a lot of these movies, and
got a when fair you amount watch to them, compare them to.
Yeah, exactly. When you watch them this close to each other, you start to notice things like that.
Which is fair. And I think a good word for that is maybe just like a nitpick, right? It is
nitpick,
not
yes.
detrimental to the movie at all.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Okay. Another thought I had was having Supergirl show up at the end, and we discussed that it's kind of fun that she's not a stoic teenager like every other version of Supergirl that we've seen.
Yeah, she's just a teenage girl.
Yeah, that like wants to party and not follow rules and not have responsibilities.
Right, kind of just treats Clark like an annoying dad, right?
Totally.
Loves her dog. Like, holy cow, I was endeared to her like immediately.
Right, I'm so glad that's the next movie we're getting.
Yeah, no, I'm very
excited.
At first
I was like, oh, okay, like sure. But now I'm like on board. And also I think it was a cool idea that she was at the end of the movie and not a post-credit scene, because with it being the first film in the DCU, as we've discussed, obviously nerds are going to go see this movie. But for a lot of people that might not be like comic book nerd savvy,
they aren't privy to the importance of an end credit scene.
Exactly. It's good that they have a setup for Supergirl ahead of time.
In the movie, yeah.
Exactly. And that being said, the end credit scenes, while they are fun, they're inconsequential. They're not like the Thunderbolts post-credit scene, right? Like, they're not going to have a drastic impact on the future movies. And I think for a first movie, smart move.
I'm with you there. Honestly, that is precisely what I preferred. I didn't know what to expect going into it, but that first end credit scene totally set the mood. That, like, intensely wholesome moment with Superman and his dog just enjoying the beauty of Earth from the moon.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Great. And then, yeah, just a really like wholesome and like small moment. It almost felt like the end credit scene in the first Avengers movie where they're all just eating at the cafe after this insane battle.
Totally.
Right. It's just totally. Him and Mr. Terrific looking at the building that's just kind of been destroyed from this rift that tore it open. And Superman having this small little like, it's a little bit off.
Yeah. It's a good like comedic. Yeah. Stick around for it. Right. But yeah, I think it was a smart move to include the important stuff like Supergirl's introduction where people are going to actually see it, like most people, right?
Yeah, and the credits weren't like unimportant enough that I felt dumb sitting around to see them. I thoroughly enjoyed how they ended that.
I'm with you. My kind of like big thing, as I thought about it more and more, I'm actually really happy that we discussed All-Star Superman now. I get it now why they had that cover as like their placeholder when they announced this movie, because there are quite a few similarities. For example, kryptonite poisoning. It's not quite like the sun cancer that he gets, but I felt like it was reminiscent of it, right? Where it sticks around long enough and he's kind of screwed by it. And also Lex Luthor's motivations of feeling that Superman makes all of humanity look weak and that's unacceptable. But Superman's like, no, like, everyone's awesome, right?
Well, and yeah. It was quintessentially a similar approach where in All-Star Superman wanted to, like, kill Superman with, you know, super cancer. But in this one, Lex wanted to kill Superman in the public eye so then he would have power to, you know, socially acceptably take him out as the dangerous alien that he is.
Exactly. So it's kind of like a blending of that plot and then Batman versus Superman where Lex is trying to get funding or support from the government to kind of make deterrence against Superman. And they're like, I don't know. And then he just has to create a reason for them to let him do what he wants.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it was a great blending of those different ideas that we both really liked about Lex Luthor in past movies.
Totally. And speaking of like these plots to, you know, create controversy around Superman, they discuss this throughout the whole movie. It was one of the big conflicts. What are your thoughts on Superman having stopped the war?
Yeah, that was a good idea, because while it is shown that it was all a part of a master plan and that they were bad guys and that he was right to stop them, if that wasn't the case, right, or just at least in the first like three quarters of the movie, it is really exciting to be like, what's the move here, right? Like, just because this superhero lives in America doesn't mean he represents America.
Right.
Like, you don't see, I don't know, different stories like to tackle this different ways. Like, in a lot of stories, countries will have their own superheroes. A good example of this would be like Russia having the Red Guardian in the Marvel universe. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
You make a good point. And I think it was interesting that they kind of played it out like the Hammer of Bavaria was another country's superhero that could take him out rather than, you know, Lex's hench person.
Totally.
I think it was a brilliant conflict for them to have, because it really raised the stakes in the end when this war is about to go down again, right?
Yeah. And when you have the people like clamoring for Superman to return, Like, it's a powerful moment.
It's a desperate situation, right? And he, that line where Mr. Terrific is like, listen, man, nothing is more important than staying here and fixing this rift. There won't be an Earth to save, right?
Yeah, and that's, it's obvious that, like, that's the choice, but you can't help but be like, ah, but, like, what's going to happen at the war,
right? Oh, my gosh, yeah, driving up the tension with the kids, raising the Superman flag.
Yeah.
Everybody's chanting for him. I think the war was brilliant, and just from a political perspective, I totally see where he's coming from. This is just another reason that I adore this argument between Lois and Superman, because in this interview, you get it from Superman's perspective, right? You get, like, a nosy reporter asking, like, really kind of pointed questions, and he reacts to it like he would, right? That line where she keeps drilling him about the war, about, like, representing America. And he's like, I was representing myself. She was like, you know, you stopped this country from invading. You, like, threatened a president. And, like, you did all these, like, kind of war crime type things. And, like, he just has that breaking moment where he's all, people were gonna die.
Yeah, like, he just, I think in his mind, he believes that, like, he just can't understand why people just don't, like, chill out and act like adults and just want to help each other. In his mind, like, why isn't everyone good?
And I think that totally and perfectly encapsulates, I mean, the complexity of modern society, the complexity of war, right? There's so many politics and, like, red tape tied up in it. There are countless lives that have been lost over just, like, really insignificant and dumb things just because people are afraid of, like, the ramifications. So, like, the idea of, like, somebody with godlike power who really can just stop it, and people are still criticizing him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a great conflict.
I'm with you there. And that made, like, the support of the Justice Gang that much more sweet. Because when they pull up instead of Superman, and that perfect just cocky line from Nathan Fillion just being like, sorry, guys, Superman couldn't make it, so you get the upgrade.
Right. Oh, my and gosh.
Holy cow, that fight was so much fun.
That fight is so fun. Metamorpho shows up again, and it was so funny when, like, Hawkgirl is like, oh, yeah, he's part of the Justice Gang. And he's like, no, he's not. And Metamorpho goes, Justice Gang, that's a cool name. And Guy Gardner's like, you're in.
No, he had so many great one-liners. Once again, Nathan Fillion was, like, the move for that casting.
Totally.
Yeah, just a terrible dude, and we love him for it.
Yeah.
And, oh my gosh, yeah, this fight where we get, like, Hot Girl, like, flying up with the president, and, like, we're not sure if she killed him or not. She might have.
I think she did.
She probably sort of did. Anyways, we get Guy Gardner, like, using the giant green hands to, like, flip over the trucks and, like, literally flipping them off. That was brilliant.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Metamorpho showing off, like, his, like, immense powers. That was super cool.
Yeah, that guy's crazy powerful when you think about it.
Oh, my, like, gosh. Yeah. Geez.
What a great third act. I mean, I'm watching this movie and I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, now they just have to stick the landing and I'm okay, right? Like, it'll be a good movie. And they killed it. I thought it was so good.
Amen. I honestly can't think of storyline, any issues that I had with this. It flowed so well. And there were next to no moments that I was, like, genuinely taken out of the moment. Or, like, I felt like they really missed a chance to, like, do something. I feel like they were bold with it and it worked.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how this one ages and when we watch it, you know, repeat viewings, how our thoughts develop and change over time. Speaking of a movie changing over time in our minds, Man of Steel, two drastically different styles. I feel like I could confidently say that Man of Steel is so stylized to what it is, and this Superman is so stylized to what it is. It's kind of makes it hard to compare them.
It's sort of apples and oranges. Technically, they're both Superman, but you're so right. They have the most strong sense of style, and they are starkly different. It's like comparing the 60s Batman to the Batman.
Right.
Right. Like, they are just, they're two very different flavors of the same character, and I quite like them both. I will say, I think if you have, like, a very light comic book lover, or even just a non-superhero fan who wants a fun movie, James Gunn's rendition is the recommendation.
Yeah, I feel like it's a lot easier to pick up. It's faster paced. I think it's more of an easy watch.
It's entirely accessible to, like, almost any audience.
Accessible is a great word for it.
Yeah, I mean, I remember Guardians of the Galaxy being the same way. I have plenty of friends and family who aren't really into comic books or any of that stuff and adore that movie. It's a ton of fun.
Yeah, yeah, and it helps that it's very, I mean, for the most part, at the time, it's very disconnected from everything, right?
Totally, totally. So that being said, I thoroughly enjoy Man of Steel, and I have a hard time saying which of these might be better because I kind of like the dark and gritty. I mean, I'm a huge Batman fan, so the fact that they leaned into that for a Superman feel felt right.
I think if you watch... Okay, here's my recommendation. If you have not seen Man of Steel and you watched this new Superman movie and were like, I want to know more about Superman, or I just want more Superman content, Man of Steel is the way to go because you will get more of his backstory. You'll get, they spend most of the time on that backstory. So if you're kind of watching this new Superman and you kind of want, okay, maybe the conversation with Lois wasn't enough for me, right? I want to know more about his upbringing. Then yeah, go watch Man of Steel.
Right. And like, it was all about the struggles of growing up with superpowers, right? That transition between like getting off the farm and like actually becoming Superman and starting at the Daily Planet.
Right. I think that's another hard comparison, right? Is this Superman is well into its life as a superhero. Man of Steel is all about becoming that superhero.
Right.
So yeah, another tough thing to compare.
I think the tough question has to be asked. If these are easily the top two Superman movies on a ranking list, where are you putting them?
Total recency bias. I'd probably put this new Superman above as my favorite Superman movie. I feel like it overall flowed, and if I rewatch it and I find hiccups, I'm sure, you know, it could change. Who knows? But I have a good feeling about this one, and the fact that it's going to kick off the DCU, it's a good sign.
I'm with you there. And recency bias is a good word for it. I'm still just sitting in the high of what a fantastic movie that was. And maybe it's just the fact that like it didn't, out of like any of these live action Supermans that we've seen, it didn't have that tacked on third and a half act.
Oh my god.
They finally like broke the curse, and that sits right with me.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
And oh my gosh, as you said, like something to kick off this universe, we get the Justice Gang, which like hilarious that that's the name that they're like, you know, haphazardly sticking with. Everybody hates it except for Guy Gardner. And the Justice Hall, we finally get like...
Okay, yes, the Hall of Justice. That was cool.
Holy cow. What a great look. And all of them, like, it's just kind of like...
It's empty, dude.
It's empty, right? There's nothing. There's just a few of them hanging out. So, so exciting. The possibilities for all of this. Holy cow.
Yeah, how lucky we are that the next installment comes out in like a month and a half.
Right.
In Peacemaker season 2. We lucked out.
Speaking of which, having Peacemaker show up for like the 3 seconds that he did was masterful.
Oh, totally. And then also having Sean Gunn as Maxwell Lord for a second. Oh,
that was delightful. And they're just TV interviews, right? Totally. Which we have a ton of in this movie, but they worked so well.
Oh my gosh, speaking of TV cameos, the reporter talking about a giant monster on the ground being Christopher Reeve's son, which we recognized from the documentary. I don't know if I would have recognized him otherwise, but because he's so prominently featured in that documentary, it was oh my gosh, I love that.
That felt so right. I cannot emphasize how much I respect like the nod to the OG.
Yeah, that was a great, great bit. I'm so glad they fit that in there.
Totally. And once again, a small thing, it's like an if you know, you know, but like that was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of like introducing all these characters, we get like the first official live action Rick Flag.
Yeah. So he's not in it too much. He translates over from Creature Commandos. However, he doesn't have gray hair in this like he does in Creature Commandos.
Yeah.
I don't know about that, but I think it was good, and I'm excited to see him more in Peacemaker season 2.
Totally, which will be our next watch through. After we make our way through Peacemaker season 1.
So we're going to take a week-long break, but then when we come back, we're going to cover Peacemaker season 1. We're going to do them 2 episodes at a time if you like to follow along, leading up to Peacemaker season 2. Yeah, that'll be a fun one because I haven't watched that in years, so.
It'll be fun. I love that show.
So good.
Before we wrap up, just like one last favorite moment of mine. Oh, there's so many. What a great movie.
So good.
I'm so glad we get to relive this right here.
Right.
is this like very heart-to-heart moment where Lois and Superman are starting to reconnect, and they're just doing it in front of a window where a massive like alien is fighting the Justice Gang, and it's like, it's comical and visually gorgeous.
Oh, it's breathtaking.
You're
right, it's funny.
It's crazy, and it works so well for like the like very emotional moment that they're having. I was blown away by all the factors that played into that.
Yeah, I feel like this movie really made sure to, in the middle of all of its fun things, be sure to take the time to have the conversations that set up emotional stakes that are going to be what matters in the end. And I feel like it took the time, and that scene was one of those scenes that its sole purpose was just to ramp up the emotional stakes.
Yeah, yeah. No, like, that is the best way to put it. So, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, please go see this movie. I'm so stoked to see it again. And, geez, what a home run. It did not disappoint. I'm so grateful that they, like, they killed it on this first one.
I know. This would have been a real awkward podcast if it, like, sucked. So that's all for today's episode. Let us know what you guys thought of the movie. We're super excited to talk about it more as, you know, the universe expands and we get to kind of use this as ground zero. But yeah, next week we'll be discussing episodes 1 and 2 of first season of Peacemaker. And we're excited to see you there.
See you next time.